Moncrief on News Talk.
Mary McAvoy and Amanda Brunker join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To your all. I have a fantastic relationship with my 18-year-old son, and we are really similar personalities in many ways. He's always been very open with me, and we are a family where we chat about everything. A few weeks ago, my son sat down and told me something serious. He had something serious to tell me. The worst things flashed through my mind. I honestly thought he was going to confess to using drugs or something, but he told me he's gay. I reassured him that we love him and he can still have a fantastic and full life. As far as our family is concerned, there's nothing to worry about. It doesn't matter who you fancy or fall in love with. He asked me to keep it a secret from his dad, and I agreed at the time. I felt it's up to my son to tell his dad in his own time, but presumed that that would be very soon after. The longer time goes on, the guiltier I feel now not telling my husband. I don't want to betray my son, but I also feel caught that I should tell my husband. At this point, I have prioritised my son's needs because I know it is a particularly sensitive and difficult time for him. But I find the longer I have to lie to my husband, the harder it is. What should I do?
Well, as my baby turns 18 today, in fact.
OK.
I would love if my son told me he was gay. Somebody might come and visit me when I'm older. I would love that. This is a real tough one, and I really feel for this woman. But I will say, she got to put the pressure on the son, because that's not fair. And the problem is that all relationship experts always tell you, always side with your partner over your children, because your children will get up and they will leave. And you will be left devastated because your husband is going to feel betrayed and he's going to feel like he's been lied to. So if it was me, I would definitely encourage the child to hurry up and tell him. If not, I will.
Mary.
Harsh.
Yes and no. There's a slight theme going through this of something terribly unfortunate about being gay.
Yes, is there?
So I kind of, you know, thinking about that kind of, like, he's just gay. It's
okay.
It's,
well, let's,
who he is.
Let's assume it's more of a big deal in this family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than
I know,
it might
but
be
I was,
in many.
But what I mean is, if she could get her head around that it's not some terribly unfortunate thing, she might feel better about it, and it wouldn't be such a huge thing. Like, you know, that he said he has 5 months to live, and he didn't tell his father. And I agree about, to a degree, with Amanda about the telling the husband. But at the same time, this boy may be just, you know, going in incremental bits, that he does what he can when he can. So he's obviously sensitive.
Yeah.
So he told the mother, now he needs to go and tell the father. I'd leave it another little while and see. And then I would call him and say, look, I'm having a really hard time here because I am, in effect, being put in a position of lying to your dad.
It's a really tough position. And it obviously is a really big deal. You know, us creative types, you know, we're used to the gays.
Yes.
We're very happy with the gays. Yeah. So it's easy for me to say something like that. It's not always as acceptable in some families. But I just, if you talk about everything,
that's
and just
it.
Kind of go, listen, your father's going to be cool with this.
Yeah.
Your father's going to be good. You've made the first step, but you can't let it drag on too long, because then it will be like this wound and it'll get bigger and bigger, and it could cause a huge divide.
And she is effectively lying to her husband.
She is.
In a way. But I think I think it should be, listen, I think you have to tell your dad.
Yeah.
Or if you want me to, I will, but I'll do it with your imprimatur.
Yeah.
Texter says not telling him is not lying, it's just not telling him.
No,
not unless it's some sort of Weekend at Bernie's scenario where he's pretending he's got a girlfriend.
But I mean about
waving from a distance.
I mean about the wife and the husband, not about him and the husband.
Well, you see, it's his news to tell. It's
yes,
the son's news
it
to
is.
Tell.
Yeah.
And he's an adult.
Yeah.
So it's his choice whether he tells the father or not. Now, notwithstanding, parents should be united when it comes to disciplining children and stuff like that. But when it comes to kind of hurt,
That's a big secret to keep from your partner.
I know, no doubt, and she should encourage them to tell her. But when it comes to hurt and difficulty, whether it's physical or emotional hurt, your children take priority over your partner, and most partners would accept that. If there's a moving bus coming, you know, against the three of you, you'll push the child out of the way if you only have time to save one.
100%.
Both parties accept that. So, and obviously this child is feeling very delicate, mm-hmm. and obviously telling dad is a big deal. Mm-hmm. She should encourage him, but unfortunately, I don't think she should tell him because that might cause even more of a rift.
No, that is his agreeing.
But you need to push the child to go and listen.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's just get it all out, and it's not going to be that bad. You know.
Well, hopefully not. No.
Well, if there was
obviously a reason why he doesn't want it.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Yeah.
Dads can be intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
I get that. But you. That I feel very sorry for that woman because that must be eating her up. Like, I mean, it's like this. It'll unfortunately, the longer something goes on, the longer that a secret is kept, it becomes a bigger deal when it actually doesn't need to be this big deal.
And there's this other thing which she could do is, I mean, there's so many support services for people exactly in her position that she doesn't have to handle this on her own. She could get support somewhere from a charity. I'm quite sure there are.
There must be loads of charities for young people who come out and stuff.
Sexual identity problems or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I do think maybe that's worth thinking about because it is delicate. But also I do think give the kid time. She said a couple of months, didn't she? She said a couple of months ago
That's a long time though.
No, it is a while, but in the span of a lifetime, you know.
I know, but to keep a secret for a couple of months now, I would not be good with that.
Yeah. No, unless
I would be bursting to get it out.
It's hard to, like, but isn't dad asking, well, he doesn't have a girlfriend or isn't
yeah,
like,
because I'm quite sure dad
nowadays
knows.
A lot of kids go to their parents and go, I'm gay, and they go, duh, I knew that when you were seven. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd say dad knows, or else, well, of course dads can be, or well, people can be very, things can be going on under the nose and they're not seen. But I'd say I think this is going to be okay eventually.
I think
but
it'll I just be think fine.
Nobody's
I think
got to do a solo run about it. That's what I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to ask anyone to lie for you. It puts you in a really unfair situation, which is true. Keith says, does anyone sit down and tell their parents they're on drugs? You usually find them in a heap somewhere. That's how they find out. Maybe the dad knows. Lots of parents know their kid is gay. Parents aren't stupid. Some are, but most know lots more than they let on. And Pat says the son would not have to tell his parents if he was heterosexual. Why would he need to tell them he's gay?
Okay.
I don't know. When he brings home a fella and they're kissing at the kitchen table, it might, you know, I might beg a couple of questions. I went on a couple of really, really good dates with a guy I met on the apps and got so excited. It was all green flags. Things move quickly. And within a few weeks, we were doing maybe 3 sleepovers a week and spending our weekends together. We're both in our late 30s and we're very frank that we were looking for the real deal and not to be messed around. I'd introduced him to my sister and I was due to meet his friends. The chemistry was great and he did everything right. No warning signs, nothing. He was attentive, he planned the dates and we checked in with each other to make sure, even though things were moving fast, that we were happy with the pace. We had spoken about a possible long-term future. Then I got a weird message from him saying he's had to go back to his hometown for a funeral and he'll text when he's back. It's been 3 weeks and it's been absolute silence. I feel like I'm going mad and I don't know what to think. The funeral wasn't for a direct family relative and I was sympathetic in my messages. Now, for him to have not replied and not texted me at all since then is just so disrespectful. A text message takes nothing and I feel I'm owed an explanation, but also his behaviour to just ghost me sort of says it all. It's so exhausting to be at this stage again. And it's so difficult getting hurt again. Should I try and get an explanation? I think I will just be ignored.
He's either married or he was on a break from somebody and they got back together at the inverted commas funeral. And he hasn't got the backbone to tell her. That's what I think. I personally wouldn't even ask for an explanation. I think just draw a line, tatty bye, off you go with yourself. Because even if it was a relationship and then he got scared of the intensity of the relationship, but he hasn't the feckin' manners to actually tell her and just disappears off the face of the earth. Mind you, maybe she should ring around the hospitals as well.
I wonder what, did she check who it was who died?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I said he's either a coward or he's had his own funeral.
But say it's like an ex-girlfriend died. And then, you know, he's looking at her and she's dead and then he's having all these feelings and going, oh, God, you know.
Well, I think we're running away with that now.
Yeah.
But I do think funerals and deaths do change people,
especially the dead person.
Aside from the dead person, Sean. But it does. An awful lot of time, you know, people reevaluate their lives. And what am I doing?
Yeah.
And is this really the path? I know after...
Tell her.
But I remember when my brother died, my sister ended up leaving her husband and my mum and dad ended up splitting up. And it was kind of like, wow, there was a lot of reevaluation going on because people just all of a sudden see their own mortality and they kind of go, is this really what I want? You know, life can be very short. Mm. So listen, either way, just move on, get over it, you know, build a bridge. Don't be looking for an explanation.
And don't get bitter. Just
if
he's first of all, I just would make sure that he isn't pushing up daisies somewhere, or lying in a hospital bed or whatever. But I wouldn't ask for an explanation, just so you don't have the guilt of feeling, you know, whatever way you're feeling about him now. But I certainly wouldn't, you know, if there is nothing forthcoming that something has happened to him or whatever, then just forget about it and just.
You could upset yourself more.
You see, it again, so she has been hurt before.
And that's tough.
It is tough. But you do get hurt in life. I don't mean build a bridge and get over, but, you know, you know just because you get hurt once does not mean it's not going to happen again and again and again and again and again.
No, but that's really not what you want to tell them.
Just because you get hurt once
doesn't mean you can't go on and find somebody good and decent.
No, that's true.
But you do have to be careful, though. Some people can love bomb. And that can be a red flag.
Oh, absolutely.
When there's too much too soon.
I always suspect anytime anyone was like that, if they are
Prince
Charming, they are not.
Back it up there a little bit. Yeah. So, but listen, best of luck in the future and don't give up on love.
No, I wouldn't say
love. I'd be dying to know, though.
No,
it'd be driving me mad.
No,
I want to know.
No, move
just,
on.
Just because I'm nosy.
Yeah, but just
want to know.
I would do it, you know. On the sly.
Not
that he knows.
Yeah. As someone says, she should look up rip.ie. He might be on it, indeed. The funeral was for the relationship, says another text. That's putting it harsh. Sex in the City covered it years ago, says Caroline. He's just not that into you. There's no explanation. That will help. Move on.
Yep.
Gosh.
Harsh. End of. It is harsh.
But that's life, unfortunately. Yeah. And you do meet nice people as well.
This might seem like something small when you live with somebody. It's the little things that really grate on you. When I first married my wife, I travelled a lot. We used to eat out regularly. But then when the kids came along, she worked shifts and my job was more flexible. So I did the majority of the cooking around the house. Then about a year ago, she took a really generous redundancy package. And now that she's not working, she's taken over the cooking. And let me tell you, it's not good. We're together so long that I can't figure out how I didn't notice the fact that she has no taste buds. Some of the flavour combinations just don't make sense. She tried a curry last week and I wouldn't even give it to the dog. I've started just landing home with a takeaway, but it's costing me a fortune. I'm happy to do the cooking, so at least we enjoy a meal that's edible. But she's really thrown herself into this, so I don't want to completely kill her enthusiasm, but it can't continue. How do I approach this without it backfiring on me? I can't just keep eating these dinners. They're disgusting.
Oh, gosh, that's awful.
That is harsh. Yeah.
Yeah.
How can they be so bad?
That's what I think. How can it be that bad?
How can it be that bad?
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe they do. I'm not siding with either of them, but maybe they do have different taste buds, you know.
Well, as Sean might remember from doing voiceovers on the restaurant, I got 5 stars myself. So
yeah.
I was a 5-star chef in the first series. Yeah. Very proud of myself. Listen, just, you know what? If she has more time in her hands going, love, you know what would be great? A Christmas present or a birthday present of a cookery course. Send it down to Ballymaloe.
Or that they both do it together. It could be, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know. That would be an issue. But also, I can't understand.
Some people have an ability for it. And some people do have a very acute sense of smell and they tend to be good at cooking because they can taste the differences. I'm guessing he does have a good taste and she has nothing.
All right. else, or else it's just different. I mean, actually, I was discussing the cookie with my fella this morning. He loves astringent, lemony, parsley, that kind. I like the creamy, obviously, look at me, creamy and oniony, garlicky kind of stuff. And they're two entirely different things. But if he cooks something with too much of the lemony stuff, I tell him. And if I over cream something, he tells me. But like, I can't understand. The curry is fascinating me, because if he wouldn't give it to the dog, did he eat it? And if he did eat it, if he didn't eat it, then, and he left it, and maybe he should just leave it and just not finish any of the dinners and she'll get the hint.
Animal person, I'd just suggest, please nobody feed a curry to the any dogs.
Yeah, if the poor dog is lying dead, that might be a hint.
Surely there's a simple conversation, but I think if he was
It's hard though, she's taking pride in it though.
Is she taking pride in it?
He says she's thrown herself into it.
Well, that's a different thing.
Like, my husband can't even make a sandwich. He came to me broken. And like, he just refused point blank to even attempt to make a sandwich. Like, he'd be there and go, love, could you make? I'm like, really? But he would even feel it okay to go, by the way, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
really?
And I would pride myself in my cooking, and I do a lot of it because I've had rugby players in the house and you just need to do a lot of cooking all day. But I would pride myself, as I said, but like, if he said, listen, by the way, wasn't feeling that, I go, okay, right, I won't do that again. So maybe just be nice about it and just kind of go, you know what I would love? Like, I mean, there's certain dishes that you just can't mess up.
I know.
Maybe a really bad cook can, though.
No, but like, get an air fryer. Get her an air fryer. You can put steaks in an air fryer and then you can put, like, there's no way of messing those things up. Like,
I think if she doesn't realise that he doesn't like it.
But just say it to her.
That's what I'm saying,
nice,
yeah, because then you're only prolonging it. Yeah. But there's a way of saying it. You're not going to go, that's shite, I'm not eating it.
But if she's, but if he's coming back with takeaways, like, I mean, she has to know.
And
you think,
And the curry is lying there uneaten.
And the rapid weight loss as well.
But if he's saying, now, and let's assume he's coming home with a takeaway and say, now, love, you know, you're killing yourself, doing all this stuff. He could offer to do some batch cooking at the weekend, which at least half the meals could.
Still doesn't get rid of the problem, though.
No, it doesn't.
The problem is she doesn't know that he thinks she's a crap cook.
I know, but maybe she doesn't want to accept that. And it's difficult for her.
We need to have a big talk.
Yes, about your identity. I've worked in my job for 5 years and used to always enjoy going into work, as we have a lovely gang of colleagues. But just before Christmas, a new boss started. It's completely changed things. He nags and micromanages every little thing I do. I'm always being nitpicked and criticised. I've never been told well done, and instead I'm pulled up on the smallest things. It's gotten to the point where I'm having panic attacks on Sunday evenings, counting down to go back in. We have a big mortgage and I can't afford to change job. Plus, we live in a rural area, so jobs are limited. It's a small company with no HR person, so this person has been able to completely change the atmosphere. It's gotten to the point that I'm afraid to even get a coffee with a colleague, as we'll be marked as slacking off. How do I handle this?
I would say to her, if she can, would be at some stage to get the other members of staff and just say, no, don't mention the name or don't say anything. Just say, are you finding the changes here hard or is it just me?
Mm.
If it's just her, then
they want her out.
Maybe she is crap at her job. Yeah. It could be that.
Maybe she had an easy time with the previous boss and this is just a dose of reality coming her way and she can't cope.
But not always. Not always.
Oh, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying it's a maybe. It's a possible.
Yeah.
But I would see what her colleagues think, because obviously if they get on, they can talk. Right.
Yeah.
Don't bitch him just because you don't want anyone kind of thinking, oh, you know, she can't take the heat. Just go and say, do you find this change hard? And obviously, if it's just her, it's just her. And she has to woman up.
At this stage of the game, she must know. She must have talked to the others in there about this new boss.
There has to be
a
little chat. And it can be really hard and it's awful. I genuinely do sympathise.
Sounds a bit like if, you know, the way you all, when somebody tells you a story, you hear it from their perspective and there's another perspective to
be had. There's three sides to every story.
Everything. Yes,
At least.
So we don't know. We really don't know whether she had it easy. And now she's not able to cope with the more strict regime. But you never know, you see. And this is the thing. So I and particularly it's a country area. I would start looking for another job if you find out.
She says there isn't one.
There isn't one, but there is if you really want one. But I would say find out, is it me? Because sometimes I've often noticed that if I get my knickers in a twist about something and it's that person's fault and I'm pointing at that person, and then suddenly you talk and you listen and you start observing, and not if you say, I take responsibility for my end of it, and then you look at it and you kind of go, oh, well, I might have contributed to that a bit now or
and
whatever.
Sometimes it can be just a personality clash.
Yeah.
And as little as that. And there's many possibilities here. We don't know. There's not enough detail there. Mm. But, you know, sometimes you do have to reflect on yourself.
Yeah.
But if it is just as simple as a personality clash, you just got to be the best that you can be and see it out.
Well, it's two options there anyway.
Yeah. Somebody's
best of luck, though.
Somebody's texted in to say you can put steaks in an air fryer. You can put a pair of old socks in an air fryer. Doesn't mean you should, though. But you can put steak in an air fryer.
And it's perfect. You could. My son likes his steak rare.
Yeah.
He plays rugby competitively, so he needs to bulk up and whatever, and you put it in and he puts it on for 12 minutes at 180, and it comes out perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
Okay, I've never tried that.
There you go. And there's less clean up.
Yeah, there's that too.
It's not splattering everywhere.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. Okay, Mary and five-star chef Amanda Branca, thank you both very much.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.